This is Vectis Radio.
For the people, by the people.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Wisdom, Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls. There's my very first pratfall, thank you, from me, Joan Ellis. And I've got two special guests today. A family entertainer, Patsy Cabaret. Welcome, Patsy.
Thank you very much, Joan.
And creative director, Jean Bartram.
Hello, Joan.
Hi. We're going to have, I think, an awful lot of fun today. And it's a shame we're not on TV because, well, Patsy, you describe what you're wearing.
Well, I got dressed up especially for the radio today. I think we call this the sort of Rizzo look. It's a bit sort of grease. Leather, tassel jacket, check. Trousers, white stilettos, and a white blouse, neck scarf. You get the sort of picture, I think.
Yes. And that fabulous blonde.
Oh, you mustn't forget the Patsy beehive, of course. Yes, a big blonde beehive. So it gives us a little bit of license to sort of move between the 50s and 60s with ease.
And some lovely heart-shaped sunglasses perched on your head.
I can't feel those.
And gorgeous pink coral lipstick and some little hanging little cherries, yes, cherry earrings.
Yes, my cherry earrings, thank you.
No, lovely. Yeah. When I drew up in the car park, you'd just arrived, and as I was trying to reverse badly, I then mounted the curb because you just look so amazing. And it didn't go down well with my husband, I have to say, because having mounted the curb, I then had to dismount the curb, so there was this awful grinding and oh my word. Anyway, I think it's okay. But yeah, welcome both.
And
tell me, how did this all begin? Because I think a lot of listeners will be familiar with having seen you on the island at various gigs. So tell us how Patsy came about.
Yes, well, I've been on the island 5 years now. Returned. I am an island girl. We might talk about that later. But Patsy, I think, comes from some amateur theatre I did in the Royal Air Force between sort of 1990 and 2000. I was in Cyprus at the time, and there was very sort of limited entertainment. There was no television as such. There was good old BFBS radio. I think we had a couple of hours of television, but obviously, and we were up the other end of the island, as it were, not the Akrotiri end, and it was quite sort of quite bleak. So we had to make our own entertainment. So the theatre club was thriving. So I joined, having done a bit of singing in the past. So I joined the local theatre group.
And how soon did that kind of Patsy type character evolve from there?
It's quite a while after that. First thing I did was obviously an easy sort of pantomime, I think, chorus, and I went from pantomime. My next outing was Richard III, not as Richard III, but a part in Richard III, so quite a jump very quickly. And I did an awful lot of plays, one-act plays, full-length plays, and an annual pantomime. And where I'm heading with this is sort of probably out of those 10 years, I've probably played 9 pantomime dames. So I obviously got to enjoy that dressing up and showing off far too much.
So what was your best pantomime dame?
The one that sort of Sarah Suet, I think. She's in Dick Whittington. She's Alderman Fitzwarren's cook and housekeeper, I think. The rest seem to just sort of merge,
that one stood out
together,
for you.
Yes.
And you're far too beautiful, but have you ever been one half of the Ugly Sisters?
No, and it's funny you should say that, because I never, because it's sort of amateur theatre and I sort of knew the directors, I managed to wangle it that I never actually became a hideous panto dame. It was never a Les Dawson. She was always quite as glamorous as I could possibly squeeze, and no sort of Les Dawson type traits at all. So I pushed the boundaries a little bit, so maybe I should have been the fairy or something.
All the dames were very glamorous.
And yes, I always managed to get my legs out.
I wonder what you're going to say then.
Ooh, business.
Well, you have got a lovely pair of pins, Patsy.
Yes, I didn't. I know you'd seen them, so I thought there's no reason to get them out for radio. It'd be lost on your listeners. Yeah. But yes, that's a lot of comments. I wish I had your legs. And that's just the men.
So what is your inside leg measurement, or can't you say?
They're not particularly. They're not particularly long. 31, I think. 31.
Oh, that's enviable with us girls.
Sorry?
36 yeah. In heels.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So I remember the first time I ever clapped eyes on you, it was at what was Bertie's in Cowes, and it was Cowes Week, and you were doing a real kind of patriotic number. You had flags and everybody had sort of false moustaches that they were wearing, and it was brilliant. It was my birthday, and I'd take my mum and my daughter, and it was just fantastic. But I saw you first as you just got ready and you'd just come out the loo, and I stood there in absolute awe of you, because I'm 5'1" and you're what, I don't know, 6'3" with heels.
Okay,
so I just kept looking up and up and up and up, and then I was greeted by this kind of amazing face, and I just said, I think you're beautiful. And you, I don't think you quite knew what to say to that. And then you came out and you just did this sort of barnstorming show, and you got everybody right behind you singing along, and there was this wonderful party atmosphere. And I think that's your gift, isn't it? You bring the room alive when you do your shows.
I class myself, well, obviously the family entertainer, but a table, you know, like you have table magicians, I sort of class myself as a table entertainer. So in other words, I don't like to be fixed, I don't like to be put on a stage, because I don't, you know, I like to sort of I like to wander around. I have a radio microphone, so and I sort of set my my PA system up, so I don't sort of get any sort of feedback, so I can sort of wander around and talk to people and flirt with the guys and generally cause a bit of havoc.
Yeah, it was another one. It was a lovely tea party that you did, and you came to our table, and I was ever so excited, and I gave you a big smile, and you said, "You're not my type, but he is," and tapped my husband on the shoulder. Very disappointed. I know you do a number of incarnations, so it's not just Patsy, is it, the kind of look you've got now? You've got a number of costume changes and various eras that you do the songs for.
Yes, the name stays the same, but we cover genres from the 19th... Well, actually, let's start at the very beginning. What I was doing at Bertie's was old-time music hall. So sort of Victorian Edwardian, and I had really good hopes for Bertie's because it was that sort of setting, wasn't it? It was the gentleman's club.
Yes.
And I was hoping for some sort of regular old time music hall there, but it didn't work out. And also that stage was very low when I was when I was in all my sort of 6'3". I was just about sort of stooping to work on the stage. But so old time musical, and then we jump to the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. I've added more recently 1970s, which is over 40 years ago, and people ask me, don't you do anything more modern? So 1970s is my current modernness, and country and western, which obviously isn't any particular decade, and sort of show tunes. So we can do a few sort of show tunes and pick and mix maybe from those other genres. So
we also have we know the characters from the different wigs we have, and each character has its own name, although it's Patsy. Because the costumes are so many of them, we say, shall we have Connie out, which is Connie Francis, which means we'll be doing the 50s.
Yeah.
Or shall we have Dolly out? So we know we're doing the country and western, because otherwise we've got so many wigs and so many costumes that we tend to call the Patsy as a whole, and then the wigs are for each genre that we're doing, so that we don't get mixed up.
So the wigs have got the names.
The wigs have got the names, but it's Patsy for all of them. But our wigs, so we know what I know which costumes I need to get out.
Yes. Cool. So you're the creative inspiration behind Patsy.
Well, I just love doing the costumes, and yeah, I do enjoy that. That's been part of my career, has been in fashion, and
you do hair and makeup, and
yeah, theatre makeup. I studied in London for that, so I've done quite a bit of that. And I, you know, putting the costumes together is something that we both enjoy, but you know, I really like to scour everywhere to find different things.
So Patsy is your sort of perfect muse, your perfect canvas.
Yes, so really, it's like having a giant Barbie doll, really. Yes.
Have you ever been described like that before?
Not really.
No. Is there anything that Jean suggests and you think, no, we're not going there, I'm not doing that, we're not having that?
I can't think of anything. I can be a bit
diva-ish,
diva-like, yes, but I don't think.
What's been your most diva-like moment? Perhaps that's for you, Jean, I think.
Yeah, might be, yes. She might be better.
Well, obviously, nerves do kick in before a show, because when you've got a 3-hour show to do and you've got 75 songs to remember, I understand nerves can kick in, and so gets a bit forgetful about certain things, or he gets a bit stroppy,
yes,
you know, and a bit snappy. And so I have to sort of bite my tongue, otherwise, you know, we could end up falling out, because it's not necessary. I know it's just nerves, but you can get a bit throw the dummy out.
Hissy fits.
Yes, mm. Hissy fits is a good name for that, Joan, yes. Yeah.
But 3 hours, I mean, that's some undertaking, isn't it?
Yes, I try not to do 3 hours, you know, quite so much. I had a hotel in Shanklin that used to sort of demand it, but I found it sort of very exhausting, so we sort of let that go, and do more sort of two hours probably is ideal for people. It is sort of physically and mentally, maybe I should stay still on that stage.
You did that for 3 years though, which is quite a long time every week.
Yes. So you had a residency, basically.
Yes.
I did, yes, yeah.
But ever-changing crowd.
Yes, I mean, and that's the beauty of having a hotel residency, because you don't have to worry about what you're going to do that week. Obviously, having said that, some of those people would come back year after year, but they didn't mind that they'd seen Patsy before. In fact, they were delighted I was still there. And it had changed, it had evolved every year, something was new in there that they hadn't seen before, so it was all good.
Have you ever turned up at a gig and somebody somewhere just hasn't been that clued up when they've done the booking and wasn't expecting a 6'3" Patsy to come through the door?
No, I've always made it clear what they're getting, although with the customer, if you like, or the person who's making the booking, I always sort of try and insist that we sort of keep Patsy under wraps, so that the shock factor, you know, come 8 o'clock or whatever time, when I do sort of emerge, I don't have an introduction. Jean just starts up the music, and in she comes. So that sort of shockability factor we both enjoy, and people enjoy it, you know, after about 5 minutes when they've calmed down.
So what's the best reaction you've had from somebody who's been super shocked?
I think lots of ooh, you know, from the ladies. I mean, the men sort of can shrink, you know, and sort of immediately sort of you can imagine, Joan, can't you? You know, sort of shrink down in their chairs, fold their arms,
cross the legs,
turn the other way. So it's very important, and we can talk about this as well, about the difference between, you know, drag and what I do as a family entertainer and sort of female impersonator. So I have to sort of after, you know, after the first song or two, is sort of try and put those men at ease, you know, that they're fairly safe.
And how do you do that? How do you put the men at their ease?
Well, I say, you know, good evening, you know, my name's Patsy, I'm a family entertainer and vocalist, not rude or crude in any way, shape or form. Sorry about that, madam. You know.
when we spoke, you were very clear. You said, I'm not a drag act. You said, I am a family entertainer.
Yes, I wanted to. Yeah, I don't like, obviously, sometimes, you know, some bits and pieces in the into local papers have said, oh, and local drag queen Patsy was there and sort of thing. And I mean, I wouldn't put that out there. So, and I don't particularly like it. So I see drag as something very adult, if you like. It's rude, it's crude, generally speaking. I mustn't generalise too much. Rude and crude and often not very complimentary to women. So what I do is hopefully, you know, a bit of a tribute maybe and complimentary to women, and maybe I give men, maybe I give the men more of a rough ride. And you know, so I think that's the difference, because drag queens are actually quite horrible to the women, and the men get away with it.
Yes, and when we spoke, you said you felt they could often be quite demeaning towards women.
I think so. I mean, I haven't been. Mm. I mean, I haven't spent. I haven't spent long studying it. I don't go. I'm not. You know, I don't go and study what they do. So, but the ones I've seen, I think, are generally, you know, not very kind to women who, you know.
I used to go when I worked in Soho. I used to go to Madame Jojo's, which is closed down now. But that was, you know, drag queens coming out in, you know, fabulous costumes and singing songs. I didn't find them demeaning to women, but I think there was a totally different atmosphere. That was by no means family entertainment like yours. Mm-hmm. And I think when I've been in your audience, which is two or three times, I think everybody feels very safe. And I mean that as a real compliment. You know, nobody's sort of anxious or worried about what you're going to say or what you're going to do. I think everybody just relaxes into what you're doing. And you're such a, I mean, you're so professional, but the eras that you cover, I mean, you don't miss a beat, literally. And each one you completely own. And I don't know how you do that. All those different various styles. That's such an amazing talent.
Rehearsing very hard.
Yes, like everything.
Yeah, I do worry, especially as I get older. You know, when you stuff a new song in one ear and something's going to fall out, you know, at the other sort of side. So I do worry about my capacity to learn and maintain. People do. I mean, look at people. You know, do a one man, one woman play. You know, play.
Yes,
they have
yes.
to learn. You know, all that text. I've done some of that script. Script learning, so I suppose it's similar to that. I think choosing songs and eras that you like makes it more pleasurable, and that's
yes,
probably why I've stopped
yeah.
at the 1970s, probably the least favourite of the genres I do, although there's some fun songs in there. I deliberately put some sort of awful earworms or things like Viva España, you know, just so that they go home and next day they're singing Viva España and cursing me under their breath. And a bit of Bay City Rollers, as well as a bit of ABBA, of course. But
if you could release one single, you know, if you had the chance with Simon Cowell, for example, heaven forbid, but to release one single that he said, I'm going to make you a complete hit and a star, have a number one with this, what would that record be?
Probably one of the songs I've probably sung the most that I'm comfortable with. I Only Want to Be With You, Dusty Springfield. And I've never tried to be a tribute. You know, I've never gone down the, you know, I'm a Dusty, you know, tribute act at all. I choose things that are synonymous with the era. So, you know, the sort of the psychedelic dress and the beehive is fine for painting that picture.
Yeah.
You know, I've just done it on the radio so people can sort of see. So yeah, Dusty, I Only Want to Be With You, Dusty Springfield, probably
Yeah. And Jean, when, because you do the music, don't you, when
yeah.
you're there?
Yeah.
And so you're watching all the time.
Yeah, we did sit and choose that. We chose the era, and then we chose the music after that, really. Yes. And we each have our own favourites from...
What's your favourite?
Well, I love Dusty Springfield. Yeah. I always have done, and so does Patsy. So that was great for us. And it was quite easy to put that look together as well. So we choose from the eras, and the music, yeah, I sit and I twiddle the knobs, you know, and sometimes I've made a mistake, but not very often. But we've got about 100 songs all together, and there's so much to choose from in the 60s as well. It's one of the best eras for choosing good music,
and really. They always go down a storm at parties.
Oh, they do, and everybody joins in and claps and dances to the 60s more than any other era, really.
Yes. Yeah.
I try and choose female songs. I must point out, I don't sing them in a high screechy I don't try and so I transpose them. But I try and choose female songs, as that's what I'm trying to do. So if you had too much, you know, Billy Fury and stuff like that, it wouldn't become, you know, it wouldn't be Patsy. So and that's quite difficult. That's quite...
Because that brings me on to something I was going to ask. So you've got people like Dame Edna Everidge, and then also the incarnation of Les Patterson. So would you ever consider... doing a very over-the-top male character? You know, a reconstituted Tom Jones or something?
No, I have started to think about the future, and as I sort of get to, as I get older, where we're going to go with this. So, no, I think I'll stay with the sort of female. But where it goes, I don't know. I did sort of come up with some sort of idea, a bit sort of hinge and bracket. I threatened Jean with some involvement that we could do something together.
I was just going to say,
cringe
of a double
and fracket. But I don't know.
Would that be something that you'd embrace, Jean?
It's something that I wouldn't mind to go at, but as long as the script was right, I think it's something that we'd really have to work on quite hard to get it right. So we'll see.
And in your own sort of personal styling, in your look, do you ever find, you know, when you're having real fun kind of making up Patsy and going really over the top, that you a little bit of that just brushes off onto you?
Yeah, I think a lot of me has brushed off onto Patsy. Be honest. I think there's a lot of me in there, and a lot of Patsy, of course, but definitely when I'm working on it, I'm sort of, there's a part of me that would actually like to be out there, I suppose. I don't know. I suppose there is something in that. There's got to be, if you've been in that arena, yes, as well, because as a hairdresser, stylist, you've still got that where you're, you know, really out there.
Yes. I saw an act once, and she, it was sold as a drag act, but it was actually a woman pretending to be a man, pretending to be a woman.
Yeah, wow. Fantastic.
Which was quite a thing to pull off.
Yeah.
And the whole time, even though, you know, and you were looking, I was looking at the hands, thinking how tiny are the hands and the feet, because often they're the giveaways.
Yes, yes.
All, you know, at no point was I ever 100% certain. It's so clever.
That's
so
excellent, very,
yeah,
isn't
clever.
It?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's definitely girl. And I went on the website, and it still didn't give anything away, but it was girl, boy, girl, yeah.
If only I could sing.
But you don't need to, because Patsy can do all that.
Well, yes, I'm quite happy with my role, and I enjoy the glamorous side of it and the music, so I'm quite happy with what I do.
Yeah, but who, like Patsy's saying, I can see more involvement here, Jean.
Yes, oh Jean. Dear. Oh dear.
Jean would be fantastic on the stage. She started, she came from a sort of competitive family background, and she was the school mimic. used to end up outside somebody's office or in the corridor,
or audiences in the playground.
So she'd be very good.
And why doesn't that surprise me, Jean?
I do encourage her, but...
Impersonations were my favourite thing, but I used to try and perfect them as much as I could. But I mean, I haven't done any for a long time, but I have the odd one or two people.
Oh, I can definitely see the way this is going. Okay, well, thank you for listening and stay tuned. Join us after the break for more from Patsy Cabaret and the lovely Jean Bartram. And we'll be hearing about Patsy's pratfalls and some of the questions, the funny questions, as you can imagine, that Patsy gets asked. Okay, all this and more after the break. Thank you.
The Lunchtime Social Debate is sponsored by jobsontheisleofwight.co.uk. If you're looking for work or if you're looking for staff, please call Jobs on the Isle of Wight on 01983 564 880.
This is Vectis Radio.
Serving the Isle of Wight and beyond.
www.vectisradio.com.
See how the Romans lived and worked on the Isle of Wight. Brading Roman Villa and Cafe are housed in a modern, eco-friendly building, offering easy access for everyone without climbing stairs or walking miles. It's an oasis of peace and tranquility, set away from busy roads, with plenty of space for children to play in safely, and there's free parking too. The villa also has a gallery for local artists where works for sale are displayed. Enjoy the spacious licensed cafe with its stunning panoramic view of Sandown Bay, in which you'll find locally sourced food and drinks and a tempting selection of homemade cakes from our chefs, Ben and Nikki. Then visit the award-winning museum with its welcome shade. There's a volunteer guide to explain it to you. Explore 10,000 years of domestic life with a great selection of activities included in the entry price and some of the best Roman mosaics in Europe. But really, there's so much more to Brading Roman Villa than the Romans. There's also food, art, meadows, and peace for the whole family. Open from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. every day. Come to Brading Roman Villa and treat yourself.
Leader cabs have arrived on the Isle of Wight. A modern taxi service that's simple to book, safe to travel, and secure to pay. Travel in comfort and arrive in style with our top-of-the-range vehicles. Our friendly, well-trained drivers will take you to any destination on the island and beyond. We also provide transport for special occasions, like parties, weddings, and corporate travel. In a hurry, save 10% and use our app to book your cab in advance. So call us today on 01983 33000. Leader Cabs. Quick, easy, safe and secure.
What the hell do you want?
Please, sir, I don't know how to put together a radio jingle, and I'm ever so interested in radio broadcasting.
Sit down, maggot, and watch what I do. Read this into the microphone.
This is the Vectis Radio Breakfast Show.
Now watch what happens when I put these effects on.
This is the Vectis Radio Breakfast Show.
Well, Governor, no kidding. You can do all that just from the skills you learn on the 4Ps project.
That and so much more.
Oh, wow, I can't believe this is a free course. I must be in heaven.
Heaven's not as good as this, kid. Now get out of my sight.
To find out more, email me, ian.mac@vectisradio.com, and you could be the next big noise in radio.
Wednesday night is all about the latest tunes on Vectis Radio with the new music show. Join me, Kieran Thompson, from 7 p.m. for all the latest tracks, news and music reviews. From the mainstream to the obscure, you may hear something you've never heard before. So tune in to the new music show, Wednesdays from 7, only on Vectis Radio.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666.
The Lunchtime Social Debate is sponsored by jobsontheisleofwight.co.uk. If you're looking for work or if you're looking for staff, please call Jobs on the Isle of Wight on 01983 564 880.
Hello and welcome back to Wisdom, Wit and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and two super special guests today, Patsy Cabaret and Jean Bartram. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And before we go, I just must say thank you very, very much to everybody who turned up last night at the Isle of Wight Literary Festival. Donna Jones and I did a show, Navy Knickers and Nick TV's, And it was a sellout crowd, and if you were in their audience, you were lovely. So thank you so much for making our night. And I want to also mention Monira Hashima's show at Key Arts this Wednesday, the 19th of October at 7:30. So I'm hearing wonderful things about that. I think that's going to be a very special event. So if you haven't got a ticket, please rush down there and get one now, because I think that's going to be, like I say, a real happening on the island on Wednesday night at Key Arts. Thank you. So welcome back, Patsy. Welcome back, June. So we were going to talk about some of the funny, amazing little questions you get asked, particularly by children and some of the women in your audience.
Yes, Jean gets the brunt of these questions when I'm sort of when I'm working, when I'm sort of going around the room singing, and quite often women can't wait until the end. They've obviously, maybe the friend is egging them on a bit, and they want to know certain things about what I'm wearing or what I'm wearing underneath, or how I appear to have breasts and all. Well, you need to speak to Jean about the sort of questions she gets, because she handles them remarkably, and depending on her mood depends on what the answer is.
So that must be quite challenging sometimes though.
It is, because you don't expect some of the questions, what size breasts is he, and what sort of bra is he wearing? what corsets has he got on?
Right.
And what size shoes? Is he gay or not? Has he got a husband or wife? And where does he get all his clothes from? And little children, you just say, is that a man or is it a woman?
Yes.
So, you know, get asked all sorts of things, usually in the middle of a record, so a recording, so I have to be very quick, you know, or and usually shouting out the answers is trying to but all sorts of things. And always they say, oh, look at his legs, it's not fair, you know, how does he walk in those heels? And you know, usually they're very jealous of his figure.
Yes,
and his
indeed,
legs
indeed, because I'm, well, I don't know, but I would imagine you don't have to wear a corset, do you?
No, I don't. I don't, but I do, if you know what I mean. It shapewear, I suppose. It's nothing too rigorous, Jan.
Just nature's little helper.
Yes.
Just like us ladies wear, nothing different,
yes,
at all from what a woman would go in any department, yes, store and buy. No, nothing special about it.
And are there any questions you get that you think, no, I'm not going there, I'm really not prepared to answer that? You've crossed a line now.
I can't think of anything that's been...
They're not usually directly to Patsy. They're usually about... Because I'm sat musing, doing the music, it's usually me that gets asked about, has he got a boyfriend? You know, I'm sure I've seen him before, type of thing. Does he know Lily Savage?
Yeah.
That's another one.
Do you?
No.
But personal questions such as... You know, where does he put his bits? That's something that I've been asked.
That's where the shapewear.
That's something where, you know, and I go, oh, I don't really feel I want to answer those questions because they're very personal, you know.
Yes.
Where does he put his bits is quite a normal question.
Yes.
So.
But I suppose people now, with the internet, people seem to, you can find the answer to anything and everything, can't you? You can watch a video.
Yes,
it's all out there. So people, I think, are more inquisitive, and that boundary,
yeah,
are those parameters that perhaps we used to have,
yes,
have been broken down.
They have, and people don't seem to feel, you know, that they need to worry about asking questions. I mean, going back to the drag situation, I think Danny LaRue would never ever let anyone call him a drag queen or a drag artist.
Right.
He was always a female impersonator, and I think that's where he drew the line too.
Yes.
About drag queens are brilliant, but they can be quite caustic about things, and Danny wouldn't have any of that. And I think you read quite a lot about Danny LaRue, and that made you one of your idols, really. Yes. So that's where you built your image on that, really, didn't you? On his attitude towards women, who he absolutely idolised. Danny LaRue idolised women.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yes, that's one person I sort of have studied, you know, on sort of on film, on YouTube, and read a couple of books. So, so yes, a modern day Danny LaRue. If somebody would like to call me that, I would be well, happy. I don't have his budget or his wardrobe,
but you certainly have. I'd say more than his vocal range.
I don't think Danny was a singer particularly. No.
Because you're far more of a singer than you know than in terms of a sort of stand up routine and chatting to the audience. You rely very much on your music, don't you?
Yes, I'm sort of 80-90% singing and 20% sort of messing around, and I would say Danny's probably, you know, sort of 40% singing. I don't know, but yes, I'm much more the sort of vocalist than stand up. I do, you know, inject some humour and sort of mild flirtation, as you. As you know.
And quizzes, of course. We used to do quizzes, pop quizzes, you know, all those sorts of things. Audience participation in that way is key to the show, because it's very important to include your audience in the show. And also flirting with the men,
yes,
which is one of Patsy's specialities. Mm-hmm. And lots of men actually really like it.
I was going to say, how have you ever sort of approached a man and been flirtatious and had a bit of a knockback? I mean, what's been the worst reaction you've had?
Yes, a knockback. You just have to. I try not to, as I say, when I sort of launch out of the traps, as it were, at 8 o'clock. I tend to take it easy for a couple of songs and try and sort of weigh up. The men, if you like, in the audience, before I sort of go up to one and sort of put a hand on the shoulder or you know, ruffle his hair or whatever. So I've been pretty good at gauging that. I have had some sort of very what's the word, sort of handoffs.
Very hands macho. Off me. Yeah. Very macho, yeah, sort of, responses.
Yes. Which I don't.
Do you find that upsetting?
No, not at all. No, I just don't. It's like, thank you, I won't. You know, I don't pursue it. I don't try and make it a challenge. I just, if he's obviously uncomfortable about something. It's his stuff, if you like. That's the way I look at it. So I won't go back there and sort of make, you know, and make an issue.
Well, you made my husband's day. I mean,
well, there you go. I'm pleased.
It's about reading the audience, really, which is something you learn over time, and you're very good at reading the audience. You don't insist, which is another thing maybe a drag artist would do, is if somebody didn't like it, they would probably
push further.
Yes. Where somebody like Patsy would respect that and pull away and go on to the next.
Yeah, like I say, you know, there's that very safe atmosphere with you. But I think a lot of women like me find female impersonators and the way you look absolutely fascinating. You know, it's I'm very drawn to the look and this wonderful voice that comes out and this whole 6 foot of glamour. It's a great phenomenon.
I feel very sort of charmed, if you like, that my features aren't you know, too masculine. My hands aren't you know, huge. My shoulders aren't particularly wide. My feet, you know, my legs are good. My feet aren't massive. So you know, it was a it was
works.
Meant to be. It was meant to be. We've said
all comes together.
Well, Jean said through gritted teeth. now we've had to. Yeah, it was a job that I was sort of meant to do in many ways. So yeah,
please. Only because I was jealous of your legs, not any other reason.
Do you see a day coming where you hang up the Patsy wig?
Yes, I'm not quite sure, but it's it's looming. I've not made a sort of, I've not made a decision on that yet, I suppose. Like poor Danny LaRue, he had a fantastic career, but he got ripped off by a couple of Canadian businessmen. I think he sort of went into business with I don't know if it was a club somewhere, and they actually basically took all his money, and he had to work. Poor Danny had to work until in his 80s, you know, just to maintain the sort of lifestyle that he'd had. And I think he went on much too long, but so that was out of necessity, probably. So I don't, you know, I want to be sensible about it, and I don't want to be a. I might end up looking like a hideous panto.
No, you don't want that.
Maybe I could go back into panto.
Oh, yes.
There
we go.
But Pats has been a huge part of your life for a long time. How will that feel when that day does come?
I don't know how that's going to feel, so we might have to find something theatrical to take its place, or to enable it to continue. Don't know, Joan. That's a tricky one, and hopefully a couple of years away.
Yes, I'm sure it is. But like I think you were talking a little earlier about sort of Hinge and Bracket, because obviously they were playing a lot older, weren't they?
Yeah.
So you could take it into the extreme of the Grand Dams.
Possibly. I don't know. I couldn't really.
But the thing is, you're so glamorous. I think that would be very difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What about Marlena Dietrich? Have you ever? I know she wasn't old, but I can just see you. You've got in that kind of.
Well, it would have to be. You know, we have to be sensible about the look. You know, Jean's already having trouble spreading. You know, this makeup with a trowel.
I'm sure that's not true.
Sorts of secrets lurking underneath this wig.
Because I think that's the thing with women. You know, as a woman, I look at someone like you and I just think, well, you look better than I do. How is that even possible? But it is. You look amazing.
Well, I have. I couldn't have done this without Jean, and I still don't sort of do it. The show makeup. Myself, it's very special, and she even tweaks the makeup between genres. So, if going back to the sort of hotel, the 3-hour show, so we'd start off with sort of 1950s, and then come the 1960s, the eye makeup would change slightly. We'd sort of darken, you know, the eyes for the sort of dusky look. That's a mouthful. And then obviously going back, maybe finish with country and western, you'd have to sort of readjust the lips again or something. So show tunes, we've done a bit more sort of Liza Minnelli, so it's difficult. I'm not a quick change.
Do you do the whole bowler hat and the shorts for Liza Minnelli?
I haven't done the bowler hat. I've done the sequined hot pants. Wow. and the waistcoat and the stick. Yes, I haven't sort of.
I've got to see that. Let me know next time Liza comes out, because I want to see her. But we were also talking a bit earlier off air about an advert you did for was it TikTok tea?
TikTok tea. It's Rubosh or Red Bush tea. If anybody likes it, I'm not particularly keen anymore. Anyway, having had to drink it for a whole day of shooting. I think the advert's probably still there somewhere.
So what did you have to do?
I had to sing the whole nursery rhyme. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spout. And over again with different poses, different cups of, you know, pouring tea, drinking tea. And it sort of went on the best part of the day. And... when the advert came out, it was half a dozen really an eclectic mix of people. There were two nudist gardeners. Myself, can you remember, Jean? Who
rugby
else?
Players.
It was a cricket team. And we all ended up singing a line of that nursery rhyme each. So,
you've lost me a little bit here with when you mentioned you've totally lost me, Patsy.
Okay, let's see if I can explain it better. When we finished, the film crew went off and filmed six different types of eclectic people, including, you know, a village cricket team, myself, two naturist gardeners.
Okay.
I can't remember who the other ones were, and we would have all been filmed on different days. We would have all had to sing "I'm a Little Teapot."
And
then they carved it up and gave when they edited the advert together, we sort of ended up with one line each. So
yours was "Here's My Spout," wasn't it?
Jean, was it really, or did you just have to get that in?
I just had to get that
yes,
in.
Yes, I thought you did.
She was right.
He's right, it was "Here's My Spout."
Well, it couldn't have been short and stout, could it? Because that just wouldn't have been true. But it wasn't, as long as it wasn't the naturist doing "Here's My Spout," I think we were safe for the 9 o'clock watershed.
I'll see if I can find it for you, Joan.
I'd love to see it. Is it on your website?
No, it's not.
You mean it's not on your showreel?
No, I'll see if I can find it. It's out there somewhere.
Oh, please, you should, when you do your shows, you should have a little interlude, a little ad interlude in the middle and play that out. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And I've got to ask you, with the greatest respect, I don't mean to be rude, but like I say, you do look a lot like a friend of mine, which is quite unnerving. But do you look anything like your mother or an aunt or anything like that when you're in full makeup?
I've been told I look a bit like my Auntie Sue, but not really. Camilla Parker Bowles, somebody has said a couple of times, wearing this particular blonde wig. It's happened two or three times. Somebody's made reference to Camilla Parker Bowles, so I don't think I resemble my mother, should be pleased to know.
And what do your family think of the look and the act?
Well, my mum's been to see some 1940s. Obviously, they're getting on a bit generational thing. People probably won't be surprised that my father, who's just turned 90, I won't say he's not a fan, but he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to go there.
He does suggest songs for you, though.
He has started to suggest songs.
What sort of songs?
Paul Robeson, believe it or not.
Yes, he doesn't quite understand. Paul Robeson was one of them, but sort of like Vera Lynn type, Gracie Fields type songs. But
So he's moving in the right direction.
Yes, yes. I don't think I'll get him to a show though, but.
Mum came to afternoon tea, 1940s tea rooms, and she sang along and enjoyed it and even put one of the false moustaches on.
Oh, fantastic.
And she's 89.
Yeah.
And do they sing? Did they ever in the world of entertainment?
No. If I say they're non-musical, that's not strictly true, because we had, as a child, we had no television, but I was sort of brought up with the wireless. I'm making myself sound really ancient. The radio, we had a lot of radio, so I had a good mix of pop music and modern music of the time and classical music, and being encouraged to play the clarinet at school, as many were. I played clarinet with the Bembridge Youth Concert Band when it first started out in the when that would have been late 60s, early 70s, I suppose. The late David Gower was a huge musician on the island, fantastic oboe player, and he went around schools teaching. What was the question?
I was going to ask, did you have any formal vocal training?
No, I haven't. I did try, I was singing in a choir in Lincoln, and the choir master did sort of offer. I did go to him a couple of times, and he gave me some sort of exercises, but I'm never, you know, if my chiropractor's listening, I'm not very good with any exercises that people give me. So I've
totally self-taught in that sense.
Yes, and I'm not the best. I'm not the best vocalist in the world, Joan. I had to sing in front of Barbara Streisand once, and her eyes crossed the other way.
Oh. Did you really?
No.
Oh, Patsy. As I say, you saved the best till last. We've got to go now. No, good joke to end on. Well, it's tell me, what's your website, and where are you appearing next?
Patsy Cabaret. Careful how you spell cabaret. CABARET. PatsyCabaret.co.uk is my website. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter. Public appearances are tricky. I get a lot of private bookings, clubs, birthdays, anniversaries and things. So we're sort of into middle of October. Early December, I'm at Cowes Conservative Club. So,
for public, where the public can come.
Yes, we're inviting people to come along. And that probably will be a three-hour show, I think.
Yes.
So I'll have to get in shape for that one.
No corsets there, then.
Sorry?
No corsets there, then.
No.
Because I think we're thinking of doing a fundraiser for Vectus Radio, and is that something you'd be happy to join us on?
Yes, I do. I do lots of fundraisers. I'm happy with done a lot of charity work and hospice work up and down the country. So.
Patsy's raised an awful lot of money for charities. She's raised money on the island for the Earl Mountbatten Hospice on a regular basis. And, she's done remarkable for a lot of charities, actually, up and down the country.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you both. Thank you, Patsy Cabaret, and thank you, Jean Bartram, for coming in today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Joan, for having us.
It's been fantastic. It's been lovely, and it's just been gorgeous gazing on you today. So thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you so much for listening. Please join me next week, when my guest will be our very own Judith Atkins. And like I say, please get down to the Key Arts on Wednesday and watch a very special show there. So thank you both very much again. Bye-bye. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you. www.vectusradio.com